Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is the true story of a handsome funeral director.
He could be on the cover of GQ magazine any day of the week.
And his beautiful wife.
Jan is a very cute, petite blonde.
And the other woman who has him in her crosshairs.
And she was obsessed with the guy.
This is a woman who will stop at nothing to get what she wants.
It's a story of sex-obsessed lovers.
When he got involved with other women, he was completely out of control.
And the wife who stands between them.
Jan could be a very frightening woman and could be dangerous for him in the end.
Desire is a powerful force that drives hidden truths into the open, culminating in a brutal act of violence. Beware, extreme passion can lead to shocking consequences. Smack in the middle of Pennsylvania's Amish country sits the tiny little town of Denver. Here, values are extra traditional.
Denver is a typical small country town. Not a lot going on, maybe one or two traffic lights. Sort of just a really peaceful, calm place.
It's a very close-knit community. Everyone knows everybody else's business.
And in the summer of 2003, one local business is run by two pillars of this traditional community.
Hey.
Hi, honey.
Michael and Jan Roseborough.
Jan is cute and blonde, like the Barbie doll. And Michael was a really nice-looking man, tall and handsome, like Ken. He was striking. He was very well-groomed. Really nice guy. And they looked like they were always happy when they were in public.
Everybody looked at him like they were the perfect couple. It was like the American dream. Had a great business, had a great relationship, had great kids. They had all the niceties in life. Looked like Barbie and Ken. I mean, it was perfect.
I'll see you in a bit.
Okay.
It's a 19-year marriage where home and hearth are embodied by Jan.
Jan was just a sweetheart of a girl. I mean, she got along with everyone. I mean, she was just always more concerned about everyone else than herself. She would go out of her way to help any friend of hers.
The other half of this small-town power couple is Michael, who runs the family business, the Roseborough Funeral Home, where everyone in town is a potential customer. Eventually. It's the kind of business that thrives on a squeaky clean reputation and a deft touch with the bereaved. The Roseboroughs have both.
The Roseborough Funeral Home had an impeccable reputation. It was known to be a very reliable business, a lot of integrity.
Michael handles the customers. He's really the people person. Behind the scenes, running the books, well, that's Jan's job.
It's the perfect setup for the picture-perfect family business. And over the years, as the funeral business has expanded, so has the Roseborough fortune. In fact, They've become one of the wealthier families in town.
They had a nice home. They ended up buying the original house that Jan grew up in and then remodeled it completely with pool, the works. I mean, and it was a fabulous property.
Just the place to entertain potential customers. So that summer, Michael and Jan begin throwing lavish poolside get-togethers that have all the locals talking. The Rose Bros are a hit.
Michael, it's mission. Michael.
Especially Michael.
He was great to be with, fun to party with. Michael loved to drink. When we'd have a party there, it was always plenty of food, plenty of alcohol, and good times.
But good times can offer great temptation. And it doesn't take long for Michael to realize that a party like this is a good way to procure more than just customers.
Michael would see a woman, instantly think that, man, you know what? I'd like to have that. He had all the things that he needed to make it happen. The looks, the money, everything, the reputation, and he was fun to be around. So he had it all.
And when he introduces himself to a pretty young woman, it's clear he's not drumming up funeral business.
She's nowhere near the age of 20. Doesn't seem to bother Michael.
Not only was it inappropriate for Michael to be flirting with this girl because he's a married man, it's really inappropriate for Michael to approach a teenage girl because she doesn't have the life experience to know maybe how to say no to an older man.
And yet, that doesn't stop Michael.
Right in the middle of the party, with his wife Jan still playing host, Michael makes a date to meet the young woman at the last place most people would think of as romantic.
So this is where you keep the bodies?
Yeah, well, this is the viewing room.
Is there someone in there?
Maybe.
He would lure a girl to his business with his status, with his money.
This is forbidden on so many levels. Michael is engaging in this in his place of business, which is a funeral home where people grieve and are vulnerable. And just the whole idea of having sex around dead people is disturbing enough as it is.
And if the setting isn't enough to impress his young companion, Michael has another surprise to heighten the mood.
Michael was known to smoke a little pot.
He'll be a first.
It's like every action he can take that's beyond, he does. And this seems to excite him. And yet he doesn't see the dangerous zone that he's in.
It was almost like a switch that was hit. When he got involved with just other women, he was completely out of control.
Before they know it, the popular local entrepreneur is locked in a passionate embrace with someone other than his wife, right in the middle of the funeral parlor.
He was the kind of guy that was super handsome, had plenty of money, and the woman would just, I don't care if he's married or not. You know what, this is gonna be a fun time. I'll take what I can get for now, and Michael loved it. I couldn't believe that the Michael that I knew would stoop to that teenage element.
But Michael throws caution to the wind and gives in to his urges.
Michael's behavior is beyond reckless, but he doesn't care because the sex is just too good, too exciting, and who could resist that?
It turns out it's not the first time Michael has mixed the funeral business with carnal pleasure.
I describe Michael as a playboy. He sort of got around, liked his money, liked his house, liked his women.
Michael found this little secret place where he can enjoy his sexual escapades. And guys like Michael never stop at just one affair.
One-night stands are not Michael's MO. In fact, Michael is a hopeless romantic of sorts and follows each conquest with a barrage of phone calls and messages.
Michael is very impulse-driven. So for Michael, it would be absolutely impossible for him to say no to something that was enticing. It's hard to imagine that this kind of escalated behavior would not get detected at some point down the road.
Everything is all right, as long as Jan doesn't find out. But Jan takes care of the bills. So in 2003, when she opens the phone bill, the inevitable happens. Michael's romantic ways have left a trail.
Michael, what is this?
She said, I've discovered hundreds of text messages between one number and another.
Are you having an affair?
No, no.
Really? Because why would you be texting someone at 3 a.m.?
No.
I can't put up with you flirting with everyone in front of me. And now this is, you do this to me? I mean, I'm the one that pays the bills. I have to see this?
And he was clearly cheating on her. She was extremely upset with him.
Think of the business.
I'm sorry.
What if people found out about this?
And to see my sister experience that kind of pain was very tragic.
Jan is devastated, but she's no pushover. And the town's leading lady entrepreneur knows what she needs to do.
Jan wasn't about to overlook it. Jan said that she would leave, and Michael didn't want that to happen because their image would be tarnished. And that was a big, big deal to Michael and Jan.
Instead of divorcing her philandering husband and splitting up the funeral home empire they built together, the hard-headed businesswoman negotiates a tough deal.
Mom, you have to promise me it's going to end and it's over.
I promise.
Jan stayed in a marriage because Jan was a person of pride, a person of dignity. She stayed for the respect of the business.
The image to Jan and Michael was so important that they would overlook these faults to keep that image and to keep that family business.
Because Michael knows that a divorce will financially ruin him, he really has no choice. He's got to take his medicine, he's got to do what mommy says, and be a good boy.
And for 5 years, he is.
Michael agreed to go to counseling to work on his infidelity issues.
But in the summer of 2008, a chance encounter threatens to change everything. Michael is running errands when he runs into someone who lives across the street from the funeral home. Her name is Angela.
Angela is this very attractive, 38-year-old, feisty, spunky woman. She's very exciting. Angela is meticulous, she's organized, and she's doing her best really to fit into the community as best she can.
During the chance encounter, Michael gets his head turned.
Angela likes Michael, and her hope is that, Michael's gonna feel the same way about Angela.
Michael knows the stakes in his marriage are higher than ever. One false move, and he could lose everything. They say that the only sure thing in life is death and taxes. But for a hopeless romantic like Michael Roseborough, there is one more certainty, and that is that some guys never learn.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's the summer of 2008 in Pennsylvania's Mennonite country. And Michael and Jan Roseborough are keeping their family funeral home business afloat after serial adulterer Michael has pledged to turn over a new leaf. The problem is, across the street is a neighbor who's turning the leaf the other way. Angela is a woman on a mission, the result of a transformation in her life.
She had the traditional Mennonite upbringing.
The Mennonite order is very conservative in its religion and beliefs.
But Angela rejects her conservative upbringing. And as Michael begins to find out, she's anything but demure.
So for a person who is breaking away from a very conservative religious background, they often will go to extremes. So if they were dressing very conservatively, they may have the desire to be super sexy and show off their legs and their breasts and show that they do have sexual feelings.
It turns out this fallen Mennonite's past is even more complicated. She's already on her second husband, Randy, and they're struggling.
She didn't have the status that the Roseboroughs had. She didn't have that family heritage. She wasn't well known in the community.
And now in her current marriage to Randy, Angela is not getting that glamorous lifestyle that she really wants.
So when she encounters Michael Roseborough, the sexy brunette sees an opportunity.
She actually lives about a block from the funeral home. She would see him at the business.
She made some comments to her friend about what an attractive man, how interesting he was.
And he was someone that she very much wanted.
She may already be married, but that doesn't mean she can't be a bride again. In fact, nothing would make her happier.
Angela did make it known that she wasn't happy with her husband. She wanted out.
One of Angela's passions was planning weddings. Hey, she'd already had two of her own before. Anytime her friends wanted to talk about getting married, Angela was there. That was her thing. She was the wedding planner.
So in early June of 2008, Angela begins pursuing Michael in hopes of catching his attention.
And then they began to run into each other at a convenience store.
Angela turns on the charm. She's on a mission of seduction.
And they would meet for coffee.
Angela was very into Michael.
He had the money, he had nice things. Angela was attracted to that.
And it turns out, the chance meetings with Michael Roseborough aren't a coincidence at all. Angela's a planner at heart. She times their chance meetings. And it seems that her scheming is paying off.
Angela ultimately finds a reason to give her phone number to Michael. Now, Michael's put in this odd position where, being Michael, he's very tempted.
Sure enough, temptation gets the better of him. 10 days later, Angela's phone rings.
He called her on the phone.
Hello?
And said, "I can't stop thinking about you."
It's everything Angela's been waiting for, so she doesn't waste time. She immediately cranks up the stakes.
And it went from zero to 360 almost instantly, with phone calls, text messages, emails, and the mutual expressions of how interested they were in each other.
Angela lives right across the street from the funeral home where Michael's working every day. They can see one another. And during the course of the day, Michael is sending her these graphic, lurid, very enticing text messages.
There were just unbelievable amounts of text messages and emails.
Angela knows how to be seductive, and she's using her feminine seductive charms to wheel Michael in.
Michael's been a good boy for 5 years, but now he's playing with fire. Angela deletes the messages, but not before printing them out and saving them.
She's holding on to them for posterity.
Is it a memento or ammo?
They're an emotional reason to print out these letters so that Angela could read them over time and really internalize Michael's love towards her.
The sexy text messaging is a fun game for Michael, but for now, he's not crossed the line from flirting to a full-fledged affair. That is, until one morning, after days of salacious sexting.
There was something very different about her. He knew it was dangerous, but he just couldn't stop himself.
He wants to meet up with Angela in private. She says she knows just the place. An empty apartment nearby that she has access to. When they both arrive, the tension in the air is palpable.
They just wanted to get this on, get this going. They just couldn't hold the feelings any longer, and they wanted to see where it would go. This was an empty apartment. There was no furniture there, so they were having sex on the floor.
There was this buildup of excitement and fantasy of what that moment would be like when they finally were able to be together. Angela wanted to make sure that Michael would not forget her sexually.
They really just went after each other. At this point, it's hot and heavy. Michael and Angela are going at this all the way. They were like kids. They really just went after each other and put their families to the wind.
Michael gets to fulfill his long-suppressed carnal longing to be with someone other than his wife, and Angela gets her man.
And so right now, it's always the next man for Angela that's going to be the perfect man. And the next man was Michael.
But Angela is still married, and if her husband Randy finds out what his wife's been up to, he isn't going to be happy.
Randy had no idea. He didn't know that Angela was having this affair with Michael.
For Michael, 5 years of fidelity burns to the ground in exchange for the performance of a lifetime.
He really didn't know what was in store for him. He didn't understand how this would really change the course of his life.
But back home, Michael's wife, Jan, is starting to notice his absence.
He spent a lot of time at the funeral home, and she said to me, "What do you think's going on now?"
Michael knew that the business would be at risk.
He cared very much about having that nest egg, that money. He thought, hey, I don't want to lose this business. There's a lot at stake here. This is my future.
Michael's between a rock and a hard place. His new mistress, Angela, is determined to take him for herself and start a new life. But his wife, Jan, is equally determined to keep him. It's a merry-go-round spinning out of control, and someone is going to lose more than they ever imagined. In the summer of 2008, Michael Roseborough breaks 5 years of fidelity to carry on with married woman Angela, jeopardizing both his marriage and his funeral home business.
Here is a guy that is putting himself right in the middle of what could be a deadly storm of emotions between these two women.
For Michael, it's all about what feels good in the moment. It's very short-sighted thinking. He really feels that he's entitled to it, he can get away with it.
But this time, Michael may have bitten off more than he can chew. Unlike Michael's previous conquests, Angela is a schemer with a plan.
Angela attempts to control Michael through sex.
She's very invested in finding her next husband. She's good at getting men to marry her.
And now that Angela's had sex with Michael, she has the diehard romantic right where she wants him.
I'm just a tad bit worried about you.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like you've been, you know, smoking a lot lately and, you know...
It's not like I'm smoking every day.
She liked to take control, and Angela uses her seductive feminine charm, and Michael certainly does get sucked in.
Okay. I'll stop.
She really got the impression that she was really getting to this guy where perhaps he would do anything for her.
To make matters worse for Michael, over the next week, his wife Jan becomes aware of his ever more frequent disappearing act.
Jan notices Michael is spending a whole lot of time at the office, at the funeral home.
Honey, I just feel like you're not around. You know?
Well, listen, I gotta work. I mean, I gotta pay for it. I mean, you want the new fridge, right?
It's not about that, Michael. It's about us being part of a team.
So she suspects that maybe he's up to his old tricks, falling back into his bad habits.
I miss us having time together. I mean, I feel so alone.
She was stoic, and she thought she could make things different. She thought she could change the way things were.
I know that work is important, but I just feel like we need you here, too.
And she thought if she tried to do things to make the marriage better, that these things would all go away.
She may not know what Michael does when she's not around, but one thing's for sure, Jan has no intention of getting burned again.
And she wants to make it very clear to Michael that, you know, if you get caught doing that again, it's over. We're done.
This would be the last straw, and then she would divorce him. And that would mean a huge financial loss to him, as well as reputation.
Okay, I'll try, okay? I'll try.
Jan could be a very frightening woman and could be dangerous for him in the end.
With Jan making her feelings known, one thing is becoming very clear to Michael. He could be in serious trouble. First of all, there's the matter of sexy text messages that have been flying back and forth between Michael and Angela.
But obviously, with however many thousands of texts and emails and phone calls, yeah, he definitely went over the limit.
They'll appear on the family phone bill in just a matter of days. Michael's made that mistake before.
And she would have been able to easily determine that there was something going on. So Michael was running out of time if he was going to do something before Jan found out.
Michael realizes he's got to do something to placate her.
Michael needs to think fast, and he comes up with a grand gesture to show Jan he's still committed to her.
Michael and Jan were planning a vacation. They were going to go, I think, to the Outer Banks. Michael's idea was to renew their vows on the beach. Because I think Jan's idea of the perfect wedding was on the beach.
He wanted to be proactive, do damage control.
Michael talked about it like it was fantastic, set everything up.
He researched preachers online that could perform the ceremony.
But they talked about it like it was just a great event, and we all thought it was a great idea.
And I thought, wow, this is great. Michael cares about his family, cares about Jan.
Jan agrees, and they set a date in early August for the renewal ceremony. But while Michael has managed to quell one potential fire, he's not about to start another. So when he breaks the news to Angela about the upcoming vacation, he conveniently leaves out the part about the vow renewal.
If Angela were to find out this information, it would not be good for Michael, in the very least.
He tells Angela, it's sort of an innocent family trip. I want to take the kids down, you know, have some fun on the beach. So he's trying to keep Angela there.
Even a simple vacation with his family is not okay with Angela. And the fiery mistress isn't happy.
Angela was upset that he was going away with Jan and the family.
She wasn't interested in just having a brief sexual encounter. She wanted to be Michael's wife and start a new life with him.
And she starts to wonder, you know, hey, am I losing my grip on Michael? Am I losing this man that I've got my sights set on?
Angela's feeling insecure in a way she never really has with Michael before.
For Angela, there's only one way to keep Michael in her grasp. She will give him a send-off that will ensure that even on vacation, she'll be the only thing on Michael's mind.
Angela, as a planner and as a seductress, understands the power of sex.
It was happening at the business where they know there was much more risk, but Angela didn't care, and obviously Michael didn't care. It's hot and heavy.
He knew it was dangerous, but he just couldn't stop himself.
Angela's message comes through loud and clear. For the next few weeks, Michael continues to bounce between planning the vow renewal ceremony with his now contented wife and his ever-increasing trysts with his ravenous mistress. And his affair becomes more serious by the day.
There was something about Michael's connection with Angela that helped him really get in touch with the disdain he had for his wife. How he felt suffocated by being in a relationship with his wife, but he didn't know what else to do because there were so many financial constraints that kept them together.
In July 2008, Angela feels the time is finally right to lock Michael down for good.
I was thinking we could have, like, the most amazing wedding. We could plan, like, this huge ceremony and invite all of our family. And, oh, it could be so pretty. I already have, like, a whole bunch of stuff picked out. What do you think?
So you want to get married?
Yeah. Don't you?
It's as if, for her, her plan is falling into place.
Yeah.
Really?
I love you.
You too.
He wanted to convince her that he was on board with what she wanted and he would conform to whatever she wanted from him.
But while his mouth is saying all the right things, Michael's mind races.
Here Michael is faced with this woman who is obsessed with weddings and getting rich. I mean, this is the trifecta of terror for any guy, especially for Michael.
The philandering funeral director is now in way over his head.
Michael was planning two weddings at the same time. Renewal of his wedding vows with his wife, Jan, and the other was the constant promises to Angela that they were going to get married.
Michael must feel tremendous pressure like he's never felt before in his life. Michael has really put himself in a bind.
It's a fine mess. Michael's caught between a wife and a possessive mistress. He needs to make a decision. Will he once again return to Jan and the successful life they've built? Or will he follow his lust and throw it all away for Angela? One thing's for sure, Michael Roseborough has been juggling women for years. And now, it's about to get deadly. It's the summer of 2008. And Michael Roseborough is juggling his mistress, Angela, who he's promised to marry, and his wife, Jan, who's been promised a renewal of wedding vows in just a couple of weeks.
He had made it clear, everybody thought, including Michael, she wouldn't have stayed with him through another affair. It would cost him millions of dollars.
Michael wanted to keep everything as is. He wanted to keep his family, wanted to keep his wife, but also wanted to keep Angela.
But Angela won't let Michael have it both ways and knows her leverage is in the bedroom.
She was jealous of the time he was spending with Jan and his family.
On July 22nd, 2008, Michael and Angela once again meet up for a rendezvous designed to remind Michael what he'll be missing if he doesn't marry his mistress.
By July 22nd, 2008, she was ready for it. She had heard all the hypotheticals about how the wedding would be. It was about a three-hour hookup. Angela really wanted this future with Michael.
Angela makes it clear she can't wait any longer.
Angela wanted some action.
Angela communicated to Michael and said, "I always wondered what it would be like to be your wife, and I guess I won't have to wait much longer."
It's almost like she made a decision. I think somebody can give me the life that I feel entitled to, that I feel I deserve. Then why wouldn't I go for that? And it was her fantasy life plus the planning that really worked to some extent. It's just she took it a little bit too far.
Michael finally leaves Angela and heads home. He finds Jan reading a book and kisses her goodnight as he goes to bed early. That night, shortly before 11 p.m., a 911 call comes into the Lancaster County Police Department.
Lancaster County 911.
I found her in the deep end pool.
Okay, is she breathing?
No, she's not.
Is she still in the water?
There's a body in the Roseborough family pool.
The 911 operator gives instructions on CPR.
Police and paramedics race to the scene. When they arrive, they see a frantic man hunched over the lifeless body of a woman.
It was just after 11 o'clock where police paramedics arrive and the paramedics take over the CPR efforts.
But it's too late. The woman is Jan Roseborough. And she's dead. The man is Michael Roseborough, and investigators interview him to find out what went wrong.
Michael said he had gone to bed around 10 o'clock that night. Jan wanted to stay out, watch the sky, as she often did in the nice weather. So he woke up about an hour later, around 11 o'clock, and realized Jan was not in bed with him. He immediately went down and investigated and found her in the deep end of the pool. Michael was very cooperative with police. He gave a statement immediately at the house and told them to contact him if they needed anything further.
Michael is free to go, and police begin their investigation. First, they search the crime scene for anything suspicious.
The other officers on scene and myself did check around the area for any kind of signs of a struggle or blood or tissue or anything like that.
They searched the pool area. They found no signs of a struggle.
In fact, there's nothing they can see at the scene that suggests any type of violence.
Like there was no bullet wounds or stab wounds, or you have the no visible trauma to the neck.
Investigators are stumped. Without foul play, how could Jan Roseborough have ended up face down in the family pool? They begin to reach out to other family members, and when Jan's sister learns of her death, she immediately has a suspect in mind.
Heart disease runs in my family. So I'm thinking, oh, she had a heart attack.
An accidental death, heart attack / drowning. She fell and hit her head from a heart attack. This was being investigated as a potential drowning.
It's a good theory, and one that investigators consider. By the next morning, it's clear that this was no heart attack. That's because the autopsy reveals that Jan's death was actually a result of blunt force trauma.
It was obvious to the coroner that there was several areas on Jan's head that received traumatic injuries.
She had bruising on the right side of her head and on the top of her head.
There was some bruising in the rest of her body.
There were signs of strangulation inside her neck and throat. They had found bruising that showed she was strangled and suffocated.
Investigators reach the inevitable conclusion. Jan Roseborough has been murdered.
I was shocked. Knowing Jan also, it's surprising that anybody will wish her any kind of harm.
And a clue to who murdered her could lie right under her fingernails.
The autopsy also revealed that Jan had some DNA evidence under her fingernails. It showed she was struggling with whoever had attacked her. So she was clenching onto this person, fighting for her life. They pulled the DNA evidence under Jan's fingernails and sent it for testing in hopes that they would find a suspect in the killing.
Michael Roseborough has been cheating with Angela for months. And neither Jan nor Angela's husband, Randy, knew anything about it. Or so he thought. Have Michael's secret ways been exposed? And could Jan have found out? Or is there something more sinister that can explain her death? Michael Roseborough's wife, Jan, has been found dead in the swimming pool after a struggle. But who is the killer? Since Michael is the one who called 911, police push him for more information. Maybe he knows more than he's letting on.
The police asked him what took place. You know, how was your relationship with your wife?
Great. We were just renewing our wedding vows.
He was basically telling everybody that this was a drowning, this was an accident, I didn't have anything to do with it.
But then something else draws suspicion. When police begin scouring Michael's phone bill, they notice a number that keeps popping up. One that doesn't belong to Jan. It belongs to Angela.
These people were doing nothing but calling each other, texting each other, and emailing. It was shocking, the degree of contact that they were having with each other.
With Michael not offering much about Angela, police know they need to speak to her, and they bring her in. Right away, she seems to cooperate.
Are you in love with Michael?
Absolutely. I'm absolutely in love with Michael.
And Angela did admit that there was an affair going on.
And she can prove it, because she's carefully printed and saved all of Michael's lurid messages.
This was a very obsessive relationship. These were very romantic writings. They were both very into one another, and I think that sort of put the mark on Angela. She wanted Jan out of the picture as much as anyone.
But Angela's very adamant about one thing.
Did you kill Jan?
No. I had nothing to do with this murder.
She denied any involvement in Jan's homicide.
Angela appears to be telling the truth. But when police read her and Michael's communications more closely, they become alarmed. One message in particular draws their interest.
You are everything to me and I love you. When you take me as your wife, it'll be the happiest day of my life.
She sent it the day Angela and Michael had their last soiree at the funeral home, the day of the murder.
The fact that Michael and Angela had this physical hookup just hours before Jan was killed on that day also put the mark on Angela.
He didn't do this. He had nothing to do with this, and neither did I.
She wanted this relationship, so Jan being out of the picture was beneficial to her.
But that's not the only reveal from Angela. Her next surprise will throw everyone for a loop.
You really think Michael loves you?
I know he loves me. I'm pregnant with this baby.
It was just one more thing that rocked this rural community.
It seems Angela's carefully spun planning is going terribly wrong. In her desperate attempt to get her man, she may be implicating herself in a murder.
Angela led police to suspect that she wanted to protect Michael, and she wanted to preserve this child they had together and preserve this family.
So investigators press Angela on her whereabouts. Perhaps she murdered Jan herself. There's just one problem with this theory, and it's Angela's final surprise.
Angela's alibi was that she was home in bed with her husband.
I have nothing to do with it. He'll back me up.
Could this temptress really have a watertight alibi, courtesy of her unsuspecting husband, Randy?
Randy was blindsided by news of the affair. He had no idea this was going on for 2 months under his nose. He was just as shocked as anyone.
Angela's husband was furious with Angela when he found out about all this.
Randy may be angry, but what he reveals next is crucial to the investigation. Angela's alibi is true.
Randy confirmed it. Hey, she was in bed with me.
With Angela out of the picture as a possible killer, police turn their attention back to Jan's grieving husband, Michael. Something about his story doesn't feel right. When the lab calls, their suspicions are confirmed. It's the breakthrough they've been waiting for.
When the DNA tests on the fingernail material came back, it was Michael's DNA. Jan had been fighting with Michael before she died.
Police arrest Michael Roseborough and charge him with the first-degree murder of his wife, Jan. The trial begins on July 13, 2009, with Michael still insisting he's innocent. But prosecutors have a different story about what really happened the night of July 22, 2008.
Michael was going to lose a substantial amount of money in a divorce. The cell phone bill is going to come any day now. It was $688. Jan is going to find this. Jan's going to determine there's an affair, which means his world is going to come to an end.
He didn't want the divorce. He just wanted to eliminate Jan.
He's behind her. He's got his arm around her, squeezing her circulation to her brain, also compressing her mouth with his other hand. He then gets her into the pool to make the charade complete because she has to drown.
And cleaned everything up, staged the murder, and turned the lights on and called 911.
After hearing both sides of the case, the jury deliberates. After just 4 hours, they come back with a verdict that has everyone in the town of Denver, Pennsylvania, on the edge of their seats. On July 30th, 2009, Michael Roseborough is found guilty of first-degree murder.
A murder had never happened in this community ever before, and the fact that it had happened to Jan Roseborough and had been perpetrated by Michael Roseborough was beyond a shock. Folks trusted the Roseborough family. They trusted Michael.
Caught up in his lust and avarice, Michael Roseborough thought he could just murder the mother of his children, marry his mistress, and continue to live his wealthy lifestyle.
The choices he made just for greed, just for possessions, just for money, and to continue his lifestyle make him despicable in my mind.
But in the end, all he did was cause a lot of misery.
The family was a lot of good people, and it was hard. Jan was a real loss to the community. I mean, everybody is a loss. Every life's important, but she really was a really good person. That still does stick with me.
I lost a wonderful human being who was bright, beautiful, gorgeous. I lost my best friend. I don't have a sister.
Mikey, do you always think about the children and how now their mother's gone and their father's in jail for the rest of their life for killing their mother? That's a terrible burden that a child should not have to face.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.